91.7 KALW, San Francisco, KALW.org, your local public radio. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. Dana Rodriguez, Leah Garchik, and Jerry Nachman will match wits with listeners on the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Our telephone number is 415-841-4134 for your answers and questions tonight on Minds Over Matter.
So, welcome everybody. Hope you are having a wonderful weekend. And this is Minds Over Matter. We are an audience participation quiz program. It's our last show before Christmas, so we hope you can give us an hour of your time tonight and settle back and hopefully give us an answer or a question. Our number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. That was Fats Waller, who was playing Jingle Bells. And let's see, we'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, that number is 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now, or most of them are open. So give us a call as soon as you can and help fill them up. Our email address is mindsovermatter, that's mindsovermatter in one word, at yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. It's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have a comment or a question, we don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. If you'd like a podcast of the show, our famous Christmas show, it should be available soon after at also at kalw.org, along with some of our older programs, vintage programs. And so we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions, and here we go. Jerry Nachman has no vivid memories of Candlestick Park. He can't even quite recall being there, but he does have a new answer to the perennial question, what is black and white and red all over Santa Claus?
Okay, Leah Garchik has no Christmas tree, won't be welcoming Santa down the chimney, nor burning the Yule log. Still, life is worth living.
That's not intended to be a bah humbug. Just
not
reflection of other traditions.
Scrooge McGarthick.
As a salute to the Ukraine, our moderator Dana Rodriguez will be serving chicken Kiev. And as a second entree, as a salute to Minds Over Matter, he will also be serving a big ham.
So that is us. And again, the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Life is worth living. Wasn't that the title of a bishop?
Yeah,
Jay Sheen,
that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you didn't avoid it after all.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Bishop Sheen.
Okay, here's my only Christmas question. What Christmas song has had the most digital downloads as of December 2011?
Digital downloads. December 2011?
Well, it's the most recent thing they had.
Okay.
They had.
All right. Is it a fairly traditional song? Can you tell us that?
Well, I guess it is, but it was new to me.
Oh, I see. That's...
In other words, no.
Okay. It's new to you. You mean you'd never heard of it before this?
I haven't heard of it. It's fairly contemporary, yeah.
Oh.
It's not Santa Baby.
No, it's not. It's not a classic like that.
Oh.
Her grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Well, you have to figure who's getting digital downloads, you know.
The kids.
Not us.
It's not the barking dogs, is it?
No.
Okay, you are not familiar with it.
I've vaguely heard of the
Led
title.
Led Zeppelin sings White Christmas.
I've vaguely heard of the title.
Do they know it's Christmas? Is that it?
No, who's that?
That's the one they had for the...
No.
Feed the Kids with...
No.
Okay, repeat the question.
Okay, what Christmas song has had the most digital downloads as of December 2011.
All right. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Here from Union City.
Hello.
I have a couple questions.
Okay.
One is, there was an episode of a television series that came from its second season, Behold, She Hunt Herself.
Wait.
Start again.
What series, Gareth?
There was an episode of a television series that came from its second season. It was called Behold, She Hunt Herself. That was pulled from both the syndication and DVD sets because it involved a suicide trick with a rope. What was the series?
Can you give us an idea of the vintage, a decade or something?
It was late 60s.
Late 60s. So it's not something like The Outer Limits, is it?
No. It's a crime series.
Crime series. Was this a long-running show?
Oh, yes. Very long-running.
Very long-running. Dragnet?
Nope.
Late 60s. We don't know.
Give you a clue. There's a revived version of the series we're on right now.
With the same title?
Yes.
It's a crime series, and it's on right now. Ironside.
No.
No, we give up.
I'll give you a clue. It's on tomorrow. It's up on Monday night.
No, I wouldn't get it.
You don't know?
No.
Hawaii 50.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, there was an episode called The Old Episode because it involved a Hawaiian suicide trick for the rope. And because of that, the episode was never seen again.
Oh.
Yeah. Here's my second question. Which cast member of a situation comedy was the godmother of a member of a 60 sitting group?
Which cast member of a situation comedy was the godmother to a 60, a member of a 60 singing group?
Yeah.
Godmother. No.
Oh, okay, well, here's another clue. There were two episodes of the series that was seen on last Friday.
I haven't got your encyclopedic knowledge of what nights things are on. No, I'm afraid we don't know, Gareth.
Oh, right. It was I Love Lucy. It was one of the cast members.
God.
It was Lucille Ball.
It wasn't, well, then Vivian Vance.
Yes, it was Vivian Vance.
That was easy. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah, she was the, you know who she was the godmother of?
No.
Lead singer John Sebastian of the Love and Spoon.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too.
And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay.
Here we go.
Is a backwards song. Tell me what it is. That's the first phrase played backwards.
Never gotten.
Gonna do that again because the last it was low C. Okay, gonna do it again. Start from the top.
At first, I thought it was "Won't You Come Home, Bill Bailey." It sounded just a little bit like that, but then I realized I was wrong.
This is a Christmas song. Did you say that?
No. I didn't.
You didn't.
Well, tell us this. Is it a popular song or a traditional song? Can you tell us that?
It's a traditional song.
All right.
I did get it once. You've never gotten
No, I never
have. I got it somehow. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. We'll have to hear it about 10 more times to even have a chance.
No, I still wouldn't get it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Oh, good. Here is a sort of a news question.
Mm-hmm.
Gwen Ifill asked this question at a debate between Dick Cheney and who else ever was running for vice president that year. I think it was John Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most amazing question, and neither of them got it right. But ever since then, I've asked people this question. Nobody's ever got it right. It's a real important question. The question is, which group in America has the highest death rate from AIDS,
It is not gay men.
No.
It is...
Straight women?
I'm sorry?
Straight women?
No, that's sort of in the right direction, but no.
Is it...
Babies?
No.
Is it people over, like women over 65?
No.
Because more older people are getting it. Okay. So, but you were kind of on the track with when Jerry said straight women?
Yeah.
So, let's think for a minute. Are you looking for a particular minority group, for instance?
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
like straight
black
straight,
women?
Straight black women, for instance.
Getting close.
Straight
Hispanic women.
Well, no, you're on track, but it is black women, and it is straight black women, but the important fact of it was so powerful, and the answer came out from Gwen Ifill, it was just shocked everybody in the audience.
What is it?
I don't know.
It is young black girls between the ages of 11 and like 19, and it's because of the amount of gang rape that happens in the black community.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And next call. Yeah.
He's quoting Gwen Ifill.
He's quoting Gwen Ifill. All right. We.
I don't know. We didn't hear it. I disavail myself from that whole last discussion.
Are you there, caller? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes, the most downloaded Christmas song. Would that be Merry Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono?
No, it would not.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, let's see here. According to ASCAP, the American Association or Society of Composers
Authors
and Publishers, Authors and Composers,
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. What are the two most performed Christmas songs that do not mention either Christmas or Santa Claus in the title?
Winter Wonderland?
That's one. Let me read the question once more. According to ASCAP, what are the two most performed Christmas songs that do not mention either Christmas or Santa Claus in the title?
Frosty the Snowman.
No, that's a pretty good guess. Yeah, Leah was right on Winter Wonderland. That's one of them. What is the other one?
Let it snow.
You're right.
Oh,
you're right.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. All right. Winter Wonderland and Let It Snow. Okay. Much more difficult question. Of the 100 most popular Christmas songs, what is the only one written for a Broadway show? That I could find, anyway.
Say it again.
Of the 100 most performed Christmas songs, and these are popular songs, what is the only one written for a Broadway show?
Well, there's a Christmas song in MAME. Let's Have a Little Christmas.
You're right.
Okay.
Yeah,
I forget what's
that's
the title.
It. We Need a Little Christmas.
We Need a Little Christmas, yeah. In MAME.
Very good. Yeah, you're killing me. All right. Go to something else here. The ABC News had something on their website where they did a comparison between the most popular Christmas gifts from 1913 and 2013. So I have a list of the 10 most popular Christmas gifts from 1913, 100 years ago. So I'll give you each one guess for now.
1913.
So that it was a difference. It just showed that we're just demonstrating the difference between.
Are these children's and adult gifts?
I would say so. Yeah, but mostly children.
Ice skates.
Yes, skates. Very good. There's your guess.
Sleds.
No sled. So again, I'm looking for the most popular Christmas gifts 100 years ago, in 1913. All right. So skates is one. And what are the other nine?
Bicycles.
No bicycle. So I'll let you guess again a little bit later. So again, the the 10 most popular Christmas gifts from 1913.
And you said you also have the 10 most popular from this year?
No, I do. I could have brought that with me, but you wouldn't have known most of them because it's a lot of electronic and games and stuff.
1913. Oh,
gee. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from San Francisco.
Hi, Colette.
And I'm going to give you the fictional names of two characters, and they made a movie out of it, and I want the name of the movie, and it was based upon a book, and the author.
So was the movie? Did the movie and the book have the same title?
No, they did not.
Okay.
Okay.
You're going to give us the characters?
Right, the fictional, the names of the characters.
All right.
In the movie, one of them was George Eastman.
Oh.
This is Dreiser's book, American Tragedy.
It's A Place in the Sun is the movie.
Right away.
Right.
And that was George Eastman's...
Montgomery Clift.
Montgomery Clift, yeah.
Right, okay.
In the book, it's Clyde Griffith, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, the next one. Oh, okay, in the movie, in the book, he had the same name, Morris Townsend.
Oh, that's Washington Square.
Right.
Or The Heiress.
Right, you got it.
Very good.
Oh, and let's see. Okay.
Again, played by Montgomery Clift.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to join us here with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, columnist Leah Garchik. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tim in San Francisco.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, I know the backwards song.
Oh, good.
The backwards song is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Right, you are. Good for you. Thank you.
You're
amazing,
welcome.
Amazing. What
Merry
a year.
Merry Christmas.
Thank
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Jeez.
What's that?
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Take care.
Oh, I thought you were going to play it forward.
Oh, do you want to hear
it? Yeah.
Okay. No, but I practiced backwards.
Oh.
Okay.
Beautiful. Excellent.
I have some change someplace, so give me a minute.
We'll be right down. Don't go away.
Where's your monkey?
How about some hot cocoa? Yeah.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. There are two theories about, has to do with Candlestick Park closing. I thought I needed a question. Why is Candlestick Point so named?
So the name considerably predates Candlestick Park.
Yeah, it's been there for, I don't know how long, but...
the shape of the hills and the topography.
Well, that's close enough. One of the theories is one is said to have a rock formation resembling a candlestick. And then there's one other theory. Do you happen to know that?
Somebody would hold out a lamp or a candle to guide ships as they went by?
No.
There's one other theory. All right, leave it out.
Okay.
Read the question again, please.
Why is Candlestick Point so named, according to two of the theories, most popular theories?
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
Fun is free. Let's all have some. Lighten up the mood here. Leah may know the answer to this.
I thought the mood was very light. I don't know.
Well, this is Jan in San Francisco.
Okay.
I am not under disguise here. What is black and white and red all over?
The newspaper.
The newspaper.
Well, that's the old one, and you guys know that one. This one is more of an imaginary thing. And I'll say this, it's in the animal kingdom.
What is
black and white and red all over?
It's just like a joke, right? It's like a blushing skunk or something, or a zebra, I mean.
You ready? No, it's not a zebra.
A skunk?
Oh, that's good, no.
Okay.
A penguin.
A very embarrassed penguin. That was last year.
Very good. Okay, that's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And jolly lady.
Yes, and next call.
Could be Mrs. Claus herself.
Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hi, this is Judy in Berkeley.
Hi, Judy.
I had a guess for Jerry's question about downloaded songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Emphasis on guess. I don't quite know the name of it. It's Mariah Carey, something like All I Want for Christmas Is You.
That's close enough. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yes.
1994. Excellent.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you. Good job. And Leah, it's your turn.
I'm still laughing at the thought of Mrs. Claus taking time out for duty. Okay.
A little too much of that mulled wine, eh, at that party you mentioned?
No, I didn't have any. From which culture invented ice cream?
Which culture?
In the 8th century B.C.
Oh, the Egyptians, I'll say.
No.
Okay, Eve will be very disappointed. Yeah.
The 8th century B.C., you said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. It's got to be the Ming Dynasty.
China, I'll give you that.
Well, it's got to be China or Egypt, you know.
I'm sure
that long
the Ming
ago.
Dynasty isn't
I know.
Wrong,
accurate.
Yeah, wrong,
but,
wrong point
I don't
time,
know my but. Dynasties. I admit that's okay. The only dynasty I know, I think.
The first restaurant, we've got a lot of food questions here,
all right,
opened in France 200 years ago by a man named Boulanger. You know Boulanger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, same for him.
Boulanger, huh? Factually, with an F on the end. He put a sign outside his shop that said restaurant, which meant restore.
Oh.
What was the food that he served?
You mean it was one just he served
what
one
kind of food, yeah.
Lay pigs in a blanket?
No.
I mean, he just served one dish, is that it?
One kind of food.
One kind. Fromage.
No.
But I'm sure he charged Americans a lot more.
Yeah. One kind of food, 200 years ago. What were they eating?
200 years ago. Only one kind of food. Mm-hmm. All right.
Soufflés.
No.
Was this what you consider a main course?
Could be.
Right.
I don't think they had such a thing as the main course. I mean,
they had one course.
Amuse-bouche.
Duck.
One thing.
No.
One thing.
Gee, canard. I don't know.
Well, it'd have to be something kind of filling, wouldn't it? I mean, like a one-course meal sort of thing, it would seem. Like
a popular dish today, Leah?
Mm-hmm.
Stew of some kind?
Oh, yeah. Coq au vin. Bœuf bourguignon.
Beef bourguignon.
Beef bourguignon, yes. Well, I'm all out of my typical French
menu
items.
Read that once more,
would
you?
The first restaurant served what? Opened in France 200 years ago. What was the...
Pâté.
Fare.
Pâté.
I don't think he would have stayed in business too long if he only served pâté.
Well, I don't know what they were eating 200 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Dan in Daly City.
Hi.
I had a guess about the candlestick point.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I've read that they have they're the tall rocks on the point, and that the seagulls that sit on them often, leave the results of having eaten their meals all over the rocks, and that the resultant discharge resembles candles with the paraffin melting.
Oh, well, that's very picturesque,
yeah,
isn't it?
I don't have that,
but I like it.
Tell it it's to not, Mrs. Claus.
It's not the answer I had, but I think it's a very it makes as much sense as the other one.
It's probably the real answer, but people are just reluctant to.
That's a good point.
Well, you've got a lot of guts to mention. Thank you.
You have your nerve. Sorry. Yeah. We thank you for calling.
No, that's good. Thanks.
Why, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Paul from Livermore.
Hi, Paul.
And I heard the same defecation story with the birds on the rocks, so maybe it is true and...
Could
I
be.
Won't use a 7-second
delay.
True answer, but
well, they called it Vista Guano.
Yeah, really. There you go. And for Leah's question, it's a bread boulangerie is a bread store.
Yes, but that's not what was served at this restaurant.
Oh, okay. I'm wrong.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Not peanut butter, huh? Or grilled cheese sandwiches.
Mm-mm.
All right, let's see here. This is according to a survey that's done by the Food Network last year, actually. And they asked all their listeners to write in or send emails or however they do it to give their 10 least favorite foods served at Christmas time. So according to the survey done by the Food Network, they asked their watchers, their listeners, whatever, to write in and give the 10 least favorite foods at Christmas time. So I'll give you each
this
one
is a,
guess for
aside
now.
Aside from fruitcake, I guess.
Mincemeat pie.
You're right. Mincemeat pie and fruitcake. So you each got one.
Oh, I see. Oh, that was too easy.
Well, fruitcake is number one, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And
although
yes.
Very few people have actually eaten it, it's one of those things that everyone's... Mm. Laughs about, but...
And mincemeat pie is number three.
Sounds hideous, yeah.
So once more, according to a survey done by the Food Network, they asked people to write in with their 10 least favorite Christmas foods. And
okay.
Jerry got fruitcake and Leah got mince pie, which I've never even had. Have you ever had that?
No. I think it has meat in it.
I wouldn't want to. It's kind of candied meat, I think, but I'm not sure. Sounds hideous.
I thought it was hot. I mean, like it was spicy.
I don't think it's spicy.
Oh, it's not? Oh, okay.
Suet pudding.
Yum.
Not suet pudding, though.
That is a thing, though, isn't it?
It is a thing. Oh, yeah, definitely. But they don't serve that really very much in the United States.
Yeah. We'll open the International House of Suet.
I guess that wasn't at the first restaurant, then.
No.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, yeah, this is David Oakland.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I think I have a couple of answers. For the most popular gifts from 1913,
yes.
Is a doll one of them?
Doll is one, yes.
And then what about a train or train set?
Yes, toy train.
Okay. Excellent.
And then the least popular foods, is eggnog on that list?
Yes. Eggnog is number 9.
Oh, I love
eggnog.
Right.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, not at all.
Of course not.
Yeah. Okay, and I have a question for you.
Okay.
This movie, as far as I know, there are only 3 movies that have this. Anyway, the 3 movies are Chinatown, Quiz Show, and Woody Allen movie Husbands and Wives. Are the only 3 movies in movie history to have something about who appears in the movies.
Chinatown, Husbands and Wives, what was first?
Chinatown, the quiz show, the one about the quiz show scandal.
Right.
And Husbands and Wives are the only 3, at least scripted movies in Hollywood history that have something in their cast that no other movies have.
Something in their cast?
Yeah. Something
you mean a character in the cast, a kind of character?
No, actually, people who appear in the movies.
Quiz Show, Husbands and Wives, and third one.
And Chinatown.
Chinatown, okay. Oh, gosh.
Well, let me think. Well, Quiz Show had the real fellow who did a bit who was...
Herb Stemple.
Herb Stemple, yeah. But...
Right.
That's not...
This has nothing to do with, like, it has to do with people who portrayed people within the movie. So to say, the people who were acting in the films.
Husbands and Wives.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, Husbands and Wives was okay.
Woody Allen.
Yeah, right. But it wasn't based on a real story.
No.
Okay.
No, it was only about the people who acted in these films.
They had.
Was it people with certain physical traits, albinos or dwarves or something?
No, it was people who had each won something.
Each won something.
You know it about Chinatown. If you think about who appeared in that movie, you can probably figure it out.
Each won something. Like an Academy Award or...
Right, but for what?
For Best Director?
They're the only three movies that ever had that more than one person, right, who had won Best Director.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. More than one. The show had Martin Scorsese and Barry Levinson in it.
Oh.
And Chinatown, John Huston, and Roman Polanski.
Oh, okay.
And then Sidney Pollack was in Husbands and Wives.
Oh. Interesting question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Sounds like one of yours.
Yeah, but I didn't think of it. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay. What old-fashioned men's wardrobe feature has been declared no longer dorky, but once again fashionable?
The ascot?
No.
Shawl collar on a tuxedo?
No.
Have you seen that lately?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Well, you know, She
mingled places. with high society.
She's seen everything.
Yeah. A pompadour?
No. That's a good guess. But
once more, Jerry.
What old-fashioned men's wardrobe feature has been declared no longer dorky, but once again fashionable?
Men's garters?
No. Good. That's a good guess.
Yeah. Spats?
No, those were never dorky, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Well, oh, white shoes?
No.
After Labor Day?
No.
Is this more formal or just a regular everyday?
Regular everyday.
Okay.
Cuffs?
Trouser cuffs. Very good. That's it.
I didn't know.
I never thought they were out.
According to this article, they were. I still have them.
But I'm not really in a fashion authority.
A fashion player. Let me give you one more quick one. Who was the first woman to star in a TV police series? Give you one guess.
Angie Dickinson.
No, that's what everyone thinks.
Oh.
Policewoman.
Oh,
I have one guess. Okay, go ahead.
Tyne Daly, Shannon.
That's much later.
The lovely Honey West, the Anne Francis.
Yeah. Stunning woman, yes. Yeah, Honey West, that's right. Very good. It only lasted a season, but... With the beauty mark.
Yeah. And, Honey West. She was very pretty.
Yeah.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eve. How are you?
Good.
So, I was total respect to Leah. I disagree with her because the Egyptians did make ice cream for over 5,000 years.
I knew that. I knew you were looking over our shoulder.
Second, I don't know if you've seen some picture from Cairo, which big part of it was covered by 3 feet of snow.
Wow.
And they were a really beautiful picture of snowman. It was almost 6 feet tall snowman.
And it's almost 70 in New York, so go figure.
Anyway, so last week I asked a question about the Mongols and how Egypt was the only country that defeated them. That happened at the battle of in Zalut, which means the battle, the spring of Julius. So it really fits the term. And both battles, David and Julius, and the Mongols and Egyptians, happened in Gaza. This was okay. So I have a couple of really small questions for you today because I asked it before, but people like this kind of question for some reason. So you just have one chance of answer if you can. If you don't, leave it to the audience.
All right.
Very simple. What is the true color of water?
You gave us that once. You gave us that one at least.
I know,
once.
That's why. Let's see.
You like that question?
Your memory. Yeah. No. Can you answer that one? What color? What water have a color?
Green.
No.
You mean when you're looking at it from and the sun is shining?
You can see it actually in a swimming pool at night. If you look at water up, you can see there is a color to it.
So it's a light blue.
It is very good. So that's right. It is light blue color, and that's why actually why the ocean. and the seas are blue, not because of reflection of the sky, as high school teachers have told us. Okay, second question. For every 10 cells in your body, how many are yours and how many are not?
You mean how many do you inherit through your parents or something
no,
like that?
No, you'll see, you know, let's say how many of cells belong to me out of 10, and how many are foreign cells or strangers, bacteria, viruses.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so...
Out of 10? Every 10 out cells? Of
10. Yeah, out of 10 cells in our body. How many? Like Dana, how many of every 10 cells? Somebody can count the cells in your body, which is a few trillions.
Good luck with that.
He will come out with only one out of 10 that belong to Dana. So how many? Cells out of 10?
I'll say 8.
Okay. Well, it is difficult for the audience actually to get this. I must give you the answer. Does anybody want to take another guess?
No.
It's lower than 8.
That's a considered no.
Lower than 8? Okay. 4.
Okay. I'll give you the answer now.
Right.
Would you believe it is only one?
No.
Only one. Only one out of 10 cells in our body.
Okay.
Long thought.
Really?
That's fine. Yeah.
So much for free will, huh?
It is really free will. If you allow me a question for the audience, would you like before, which is, there's only two liquid elements at room temperature. What are they? Give it to the audience. I think the audience get a lot of
okay.
Fun.
All right.
Go for it, audience.
Happy holiday, baby.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Merry Christmas.
And Leah, I believe it's your turn.
Okay. This question comes from, it's a gift to the show from Andrea Michaels, who is sometimes a guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, name a movie star who, if you change the first letter of his last name, becomes the title character of the Christmas release movie he's starring in.
Is this a current thing?
Yeah.
Say it again, could you?
Name a movie star who, if you change the first letter of his last name, becomes the title character of the Christmas release movie he's starring in.
So it must be a one-word title. What's a one-word title out now?
What is a one-word title?
The only movie that has been...
I don't know. I have to think about that.
Yeah, I can't think of all the movies out now. The only movie I can think of has been so hyped. It's The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, but then it... I don't know.
All right.
It's a good question. But.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. And we are past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Well, I asked, why is Candlestick Point so named? And we had a couple of theories about the shape of the rock formations and the birds' deposits. I have another theory. I wondered if you could come up with that. And I think that's all.
All right, Leah.
Okay. Name a movie star who, if you change the first letter of his last name, becomes the title character of the Christmas release movie he's starring in. Ed, with all due respect to your answer, that's not what my questionnaire has. Which culture is credited for inventing ice cream? 8th century BC.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you said it was China.
Oh, did I say
yeah,
it was
yeah,
China?
Yeah,
oh, that's why
did.
That was
bell.
In this pile. Okay. Oh, that's right. You said right. I was... So Eve was arguing with the authorities on our adjudicating board, right? What was served at the first restaurant, which was in France 200 years ago?
And they only served one thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not cheese. It's not pate. It's not
no.
bread. It's not...
No.
What other things?
It is something that's cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's still a popular dish today, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not duck. God.
All right. According to a survey done last year by the Food Network, they asked their... people that watch the Food Network to write in and give their 10 least favorite Christmas foods. So what are the 10 least favorite Christmas foods as done as a survey done by the Food Network? So far we have fruitcake, mince pie or mincemeat pie, and eggnog. What are the others? And ABC News did a piece on their website that contrasted the most popular Christmas gifts from 1913 and 2013. I'm only asking you for 1913, 100 years ago. What are the 10 most popular Christmas gifts from 1913? So far we have doll, toy train, and skates.
How about a dog?
No. And
stick in the hoop thing? You see pictures of the kids.
And these are
a lot of fun.
These are more child centric. So just so you understand that.
What was that called?
Hoop and stick combo.
I don't know. Hoop and stick. And okay, so there we go. Let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. Well, I guess on the foods, in the immortal words of Sarah Lee, everybody doesn't like something, right? So,
yes.
But these foods tend to be vegetables that people don't like. So I'm thinking Brussels sprouts.
Yes, Brussels sprouts is number two.
Oh, I love them.
Really?
And
you're the one.
Apparently there's a Christmas dish with green beans casserole.
You're absolutely right. Green bean casserole. Very good.
Okay. Then I also
and mushroom have, soup.
I also have sort of a Christmas question. In the Czech name, or the Slavic name, Václav, it has a German variant. Do you know what the name is?
You mean the first name, like Václav Havel?
Yes. Sort of the most famous Václav.
Right.
Václav is Czech, or it's a Slavic name. There's a German variant of it.
What would be the German version of Václav, you mean?
Right.
Does it start with the same letter?
Not in English, but the same sound.
The same sound. Okay. So it could be a W, for instance.
Right. And I said it is kind of a Christmas question.
Oh.
Wenceslas?
Wenceslas.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
All right.
Yes, as in Good King.
That's my favorite Christmas carol, too. Good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Can you favor us with a snatch of that?
Don't you know how it goes?
Not exactly. Mm-hmm.
Good King Wenceslas looked down on the feast of Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Can you play that backwards for us, Leah?
It's very pretty. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Eric from the Castro area.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. For the 1913 gift,
yes.
Would it be like a music box?
No.
Electric lamp?
No.
Jacks and marbles?
That's good, yeah.
No.
Wind-up toys?
Well, Leah had toy train, which was probably wind-up.
Jerry.
Nothing else wind-up here that I could see.
Oh, okay. And for the restaurant, could it be horse?
No.
Frog? Frog legs?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, and my downstairs neighbor, Rick, he has an answer for the least favorite food. Yams?
No.
Oh, huh.
Sorry about that.
Total strikeout. I have a question.
Okay.
What animal has the ability to change eye color with the seasons?
A chameleon.
No, it's a mammal.
Okay.
It's a mammal. Could we find it in California?
Probably not.
Other than in a zoo or whatever?
No.
All right. It's a mammal. Is there an advantage to this change of eye color?
Yeah, that's for the seasons. The critter has gold eyes in the summer and blue eyes in the winter.
Interesting.
A polar bear?
Pardon?
Polar bear?
No. Yeah, it's kind of close, though.
Oh.
In some ways.
Is it a furry animal?
Kind of.
I guess it's a mammal. It probably would tend to have fur. Kind of.
It's not a seal, a sea lion, or
no.
It's a land animal.
Yeah.
Okay. That's six questions, I think.
Oh, I think Christmas.
Oh, a reindeer?
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, I just read that in the paper today.
I wouldn't have gotten that without all your hints. So.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. What American city advertises itself as the Christmas city? That's their invitation to...
What's that city down by Santa Cruz?
It's not in the West.
What is the name of that city by Santa Cruz? It's like...
I don't know. Monterey.
Okay, I don't know. Okay. No. It sounds something Christmas in the name.
Oh.
It's not in the West.
It is not in the West.
Is it in the Midwest?
No. Now that we've gotten rid of that, it is not in the West. It is not in the Midwest.
Is it in Alaska?
It is not in Alaska. It's in the lower 48. And what American city, what well-known American city advertises itself as the Christmas city? It makes sense.
Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
You're right.
Oh, very good. Brilliant.
You're right. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. In what state would you find the Polka Hall of Fame?
North Dakota.
Oh, because of Lawrence Welk.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Minnesota?
No. In what American state would you find the Polka Hall of Fame?
South Dakota.
No.
Okay. I'm all out of Dakotas.
Lee is acting like she's heard this before. She might have.
Mm.
Maybe you've been
there.
She's a polka enthusiast.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
She should know this.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi, this is JP in the Richmond.
Hi, JP.
Hey, so I have a number of guesses.
Okay.
For the 1913 gift.
Yes.
Would one be a rocking horse?
You're right, a rocking horse.
Yeah. All right. And what about just like candy or fruit or something like that?
Candy, yes.
Candy. Okay. Let's see, for the movie, I think it's Tom Hanks is in Saving Mr. Banks.
That's right.
Oh, very good.
And for the restaurant, I think that restaurants first served the original restaurants, which were soups.
Soup?
Oh, soups. You're right. Yeah.
Soups, okay.
Yep.
Great.
Thank you.
The original soup Nazi.
That's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Phil from Berkeley.
Hi, Phil.
And I was going to guess soup, too. Actually, bouillon. But I would like to guess for the gifts from 100 years ago.
Yes.
Either Lincoln Logs or Erector Sets.
No, this is more generic, not any particular brand toy.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you'd like to join us, we have a line open, two lines, one line, no lines, at area code 415-841-4134 for future reference. 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Hi.
So candied yams, you said yams were not one of the foods?
Not on this list anyway.
All right. So 1913 toys, how about a teddy bear?
No.
Oh, that's got to be it.
The right period.
It is the right period.
Absolutely.
But no.
Yeah.
Is the Polka Hall of Fame in Wisconsin?
It is not in Wisconsin.
Okay, and we got scooped on Saving Mr. Banks. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the only person to win a Pulitzer Prize for restaurant reviews?
Ooh.
Since we're on the food topic.
Oh. Pulitzer Prize for restaurant reviews.
Say Pulitzer.
A.J. Liebling?
No.
Can you give us an idea how long ago this was?
Not very.
All
this
right.
person has been nominated more than once, too, but it's only won once.
Is it that...
And won before being renominated, so I guess he's really... And it's a he.
Oh, what's his name? Oh. Craig Claiborne?
No.
Frank, what's his name?
Frank Bruni? No, Frank it's Bruni. Not Frank Bruni.
Not
it's
Frank,
it's the guy
Frank
from Jeffrey Steingarten?
No. I'll tell you, he's in California.
Ooh.
Gosh. Not Michael Bauer.
No. to his regret.
Yeah.
Let's see. He's in California. Is it a local, what we consider a local paper for the Bay Area?
No.
All right, so it's Southern California.
Not Ruth Reichel.
No.
Southern California.
No, it's a he.
A he, it's a he.
So it's like the L.A. Times or something like that?
You're close.
Or the Herald Examiner?
No.
I can't think of
a
any
paper
critic.
That's still published.
I can't think of famous food critics then.
So it's a local paper in L.A. then?
Yes. You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
The Orange County Register.
Well, the paper is the L.A. Weekly.
Oh, all right.
Do you know who the food critic is for
no,
the L.A. Weekly?
No, I do not.
It's Jonathan Gold.
Oh, okay. And he's been nominated twice, huh?
At every restaurant on Pico Boulevard, which is, I think, the longest or one of the longest streets in Los Angeles. Mm. He didn't make it all the way. Anyway, he was
nominated twice, you said?
According to the Pulitzer website, he won in 2007 and was renominated in 2011.
Wow,
interesting.
Didn't win the second time.
Mm.
But he's
must be good. We don't get him up. I don't see him up here. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Thank
you.
You too.
Hap to you too.
Hap. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hey, this is Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hi, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Hi there, Leah.
Hi.
Mother Jerry, how you guys?
Hi.
Nice to talk.
Kevin only calls in when you're here, Leah.
That's not true. I always try to because it's like, you know, it's an old homecoming week.
He doesn't have any more Stute Nego and Bud questions for me.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
I do have a question about a Christmas carol, though.
All right.
I'm looking for the name of a Christmas carol that you can all sing, and the tune is adapted from a cantata that celebrated the invention of the Gutenberg printing press.
Cantata?
I don't know. I'll give you the lyrics.
All right. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know.
Oh. That's right. It's safe to assume that.
I'm going to give you the first two lines from the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord. Christ by highest heaven adored. Christ the everlasting Lord.
That sounds familiar.
It scans with. It goes with the tune of Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
That's right. That's it.
Oh, very good.
Good scanning.
It was the original tune was rewritten by somebody else to lift a piece from Felix Mendelssohn.
Sammy Kahn, probably.
Yeah.
It's a lovely tune.
Thank you very much.
Happy holidays, y'all.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi.
This is not a correction, but it's perhaps an addition to the answer, what American city advertises itself as a Christmas city.
Okay.
It's true, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, but I'm from Ventura, or in full San Buenaventura, which advertises itself as the Poinsettia City.
Oh. But doesn't Solvang have a big Christmas thing?
Don't know about Solvang. They certainly have
a bakery
shop there at Berkholm's Bakery.
They have a great pancake.
Isn't there some kind
pancakes.
Of big Christmassy thing on the highway there?
They do. I think they do.
Yeah.
I haven't been down there in several years, so I don't
know. I
think
there's some.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, and happy holidays.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
They have a great pancake house down there.
That's like in Little Denmark down there.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, it's James in the Mission.
Hi, James.
So the polka capital, could it be Ohio?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the second part of that. So
the polka capital?
It is Ohio. You're absolutely right.
Ohio?
Yes, it is in Euclid, Ohio.
Doesn't make sense.
Oh, okay. I grew up next door.
So oh.
Can you do the polka?
No, I can't.
Oh.
And the Christmas gifts in 1913, yes. A bicycle?
No bicycle.
Books or watch?
Books, yes.
Shoes?
Shoes, no.
A pair of socks, I was going to say.
And Teddy Bear wasn't one?
No.
Okay. Candy?
Cole? Candy was gotten, but that was on the list.
Okay. I think that's all I've got.
Thank you very much.
How about roller skates? Leah said ice skates. What about roller skates?
Said skates.
Just skates. Oh, just skates. Generic.
Oh, okay.
Generic.
All right. Okay.
Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mac on Twin Peaks.
Hi, Mac.
I just thought I'd update you on mincemeat.
Oh, okay.
And I have a jar of mincemeat here, and it's made with pippin apples, high fructose corn syrup, raisins, water, cornstarch, orange peel, salt, and spices.
No meat, huh?
Well, the original recipe from the Better Homes New Cookbook calls for 1 pound of beef neck covered in water and stewed for about 3 hours.
Mm,
and
yum.
Then it calls for raisins, currants, candied fruit and peel, grated orange, grated lemon peel, lemon...
So it sounds like a fruitcake these days.
And it's the sole of an old shoe.
It's,
and
the, no, it's and, the spam of the dessert world.
But there's no meat in it today, I guess, huh? Usually. Hello?
Are you there? Oops, I'm sorry.
He's cooking.
And
we
next
heard,
call.
Heard his feelings.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. Is that me?
It is you.
Okay, thanks. A couple of dishes that are the most disliked.
Yes.
Cranberry or squash?
Cranberry or squash? No.
Okay. Nobody dislikes cranberry sauce.
And what
must
about
be a communist.
Toys? Could one of those be a ball?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What about a dollhouse?
No.
Nuts?
Yes.
Okay.
Nuts.
And there's a town, I believe, in Michigan, Frankenmuth. I don't know if anybody's heard of it, but I think they do Christmas year-round.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. All right, we're going to clean up here and then leave a minute early. So, Jerry, what do we have?
Okay, why is Candlestick Point so named? Mm-hmm. We already had one theory about the rock formations. The other one is named for the long-billed curlew called the Candlestick Bird, which I guess is a popular bird on Candlestick Point.
Didn't Bill Curlew pitch for the Giants?
Curlew. No, okay.
Is that it for you?
Yeah.
And Leah?
Nope,
that's
I'm
it.
Clean.
Okay. The according to the survey done by the Food Network, the least favorite Christmas foods, fruitcake, Brussels sprouts, mince pie, Christmas pudding. I guess you were kind of, close with that. Panettone. Panettone, excuse me. Jello salad, tofurkey, which I completely understand. Green bean casserole, eggnog, and that ribbon candy that they have over here that nobody can eat.
Hideous.
The most popular Christmas gifts from 1913, candy, nuts, rocking horse, doll, mittens or gloves, toy train, oranges, books, handkerchiefs, and skates. If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Leah Garchik. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Kevin Vance and Steve Wilkoff for handling the board and phones. And above all, for thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. We hope you have a lovely, lovely Christmas. We will be here next Sunday at 7. And as I say every year, to quote Rousseau, there is no wisdom greater than kindness. So remember that at Christmas time. And thank you, everybody, and join us next Sunday. Bye-bye. Have yourself